If you're alive in Christ, look over at your neighbor and say, we got it made. Glory to God. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, my friend, you do have it made. Hallelujah. If you will humor me to borrow from the last song, come and dine with us tonight in the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. We're so glad for all of you to be here tonight. Thrills my heart to have you here. But more than me, God is pleased when His assemblies are full to do His will. And I just praise Him. He has been wonderful in this service. And I give Him praise for somebody being saved. Amen. So while you're dialing in to 1 Kings 17, I'm going to open up with a scripture tonight in Matthew 23 at verse 12. And it says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall, say this word with me, humble himself shall be exalted. Father God, we thank you tonight and praise you for your wonderful presence and how you've moved greatly in this place. God, I pray that you anoint your word for this hour. God, let it be none of us and all of you. Lord, we need you to guide us more today than ever before. God, lead us that we will walk in the path of righteousness. And when the world would stray, let us be a separate people to show the lost and dying world that there still is a way to an eternal hope. God, we honor you and give you glory. I ask for your anointing to move upon me. Give me the strength to deliver this word. Give me the boldness to say what you would have to be said. And give us the zeal, God, to preach, even if it goes over an hour. In the name of Jesus and the church, amen. All right, church, last week we were preaching about one of the first challenges that we face in our faith. And some of you may remember that one because it's still speaking to me. And we asked the question, what is it that makes you mad? So we preached about anger, we preached about frustration, and talked about how that unless we channel our love to combat our anger, our faith will never grow. So tonight the Holy Spirit is continuing me in this word, and it gets even better as we go along. How many of you know the further you get into the pie, the better it gets? So we're moving in about halfway through the pie, and we're going to go ahead and get started. Let me read this to you. One of the next challenges of our faith is to learn how to keep our humbleness in balance with what we don't understand. One of the toughest things that I've had to accept in life is the things I don't understand. When we lose people that we love, when we lose things that we purchased or bought or owned, when we lose in a fight that we knew we should have won, when we work so hard to see something come to fruition only to have weather or tragedy destroy it. There's a whole slew of things out there that when we look at our life, we find plenty of things we don't have the answers for yet. And I find that when I begin to try to be faithful over something, that unless I keep my humbleness in me, that as I begin to be frustrated, my humbleness begins to degrade. And we go from having this lowly heart to believe God is able to do something, till we get to the point where we're almost saying, God, I deserve this, and you need to give it to me. We begin to amass an attitude as if we were expected to get every single thing that we ever asked for. But here's the truth tonight. We're not always going to get everything that we ask for. There's going to be some answers in life that we can seek for as long as we live, but we may never understand. But what makes faith humble is that even when we do not understand something, that we're still willing to continue and believe and to trust God with our life. Let's go ahead and read in 1 Kings 17. I want to bring this out to you because I know some of you were thinking when we first said that, what are you talking about? But we're going to dig in here and you're going to understand it before you leave. Let's start at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Say that word, many days. Oh man, you begin to think about where this is about to turn, how a shift is about to happen. But think about how God had already blessed them abundantly. The mother and her son didn't have to worry about trying to scrap for food because God supplied it through the obedience of his prophet. Let's read verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" Notice he's asking a question here. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord. Say that word with me. Cried. Cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice. Say the word heard. The voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Oh, Lord. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." I'm calling for some witnesses tonight. Have you ever been in a place where you have been so blessed and so happy that you felt like nothing could shift or change how you feel? But then all of a sudden, my Lord, all of a sudden, you go from having the favor and blessings of God to something happening that you have no idea why it happened. You have no idea what you did for to cause this to happen, but something has happened and it has affected you greatly. How many of you have ever been in that place here tonight? I have been in such a place before, and I begin to think about this scripture, and I don't know if I'm going to have all the time for what God has in my spirit, but I'm just going to go ahead and get with it tonight. At some point in time, things are going to happen that are out of your control. Look over at your neighbor and say, "We can't fix everything." And I could imagine that with this mother's plea of seeing her child, to whom God supplied the need for, began to be sick and ill and begin to wonder, what is it that I could have done differently to cause him not to perish? But life sometimes will bring events about us that we don't understand why we had to go through it. Oftentimes I've looked back at my 9 years of drug addiction and wondered why in the world that I had to suffer, why in the world that I had to go through things. But until I learned who God really was in the middle of my deepest, darkest, most difficult time in my life, I would have never really known that He was the man of God inside of me. How many of you have ever been through anything that you know that He is the Lord of your life? I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you're going through something that you don't understand why that you've had to go through it. You've prayed and you've cried and sought the Lord for blessing, and He has blessed you, but sometimes, oh, I feel this, things are going to happen that's going to challenge your faith. So she comes to the prophet and says, "Did you come and bless me just to cause this to happen and reveal the sin in my life?" And I'm here to tell you, the prophet was just as clueless as she was. He's like, "Just give me the lad. Give me the lad." Oh, Lord. How many of you have things that you don't want to let go of? If you want God to really get a hold of your situation, if you really want the Lord to do His perfect will, you've got to give up the lad. If you really want things to begin to change and take a dramatic turn from the things that you don't understand, even when you don't get it, you've still got to let God have it. There are some things in our lives today that are keeping us from the true, blue, full power anointing of the Holy Ghost. How many of you is going to agree with that? We should be in here operating in the gifts and callings of God, but yet we have things that we're not willing to turn loose to Him, and we sit back and doubt God. We sit back and question God. We say, "Lord, are you just doing this to me to reveal my sin?" But sometimes you've got to be tested with something that once you come through it, it's going to sustain you all the rest of your days. There's some blessings that God has given me that nobody else is going to take out of my life, because until I went through it, I didn't know who He really was. But now that I've come through it, there's nothing that's going to change what God is to me. And in the last day, if you don't know that He's Lord of your life, you're not going to survive when the darkness comes. You've got to be operating knowing that He is Lord. So she surrenders to Lad. Still not understanding why he had to die. I'm talking to somebody right now. I feel it. She surrendered the lad, not understanding why he had to die. My God, I'm talking to somebody. You have got to stop wondering why that you're in the situation that you're in. And you've got to realize that if God has got you this far in this situation, that he wants to help you and bring you through it through your faith. At this point, doctors could not help. At this point, remedies, home remedies could not help. It could only be him. Oh, Lord. There is nothing more humbling to be able to give up something even when you don't understand why. To let the Lord to begin and intervene in the situation. He took the child, and where did he take him? He took him up into the loft. Hallelujah. He went with the lad and took him where? Up unto it. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't keep dwelling in the world and expect to get an answer. You can't keep dwelling in the knowledge of people and expect to get a revelation. You've got to learn to take these things and let the Lord have it so that he can take this problem and send it up to where he can begin to work and move greater in your life. How many of you have loved ones that need healing in here? How many of you have, I want you to keep your hand up. How many of you have loved ones that you need saved? How many of you have people that are in bondage tonight? Look over at somebody's hand in the air and know that you're not the only one. Now you keep your hand up if this is true. How many of you have your faith challenged on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that each and every human being that is a servant of God is going to be challenged. You may drop your hand if you wish. But we have to learn and understand that we're not in here by ourselves. We're not in here by ourselves. Look over somebody and say, you're not alone. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, we've got to learn, church, to begin to be a more humble people. If you think you can have an attitude and expect the service to go your way and everything bless you the way that you want, honey, you've totally missed out on what the Word of God even says. If you come in and try to cause this to work everything just for your good only and not the greater good of your community and your brothers and sisters, then you're missing the meaning of what humble faith is. Are we ready to go beneath the surface? Let me read this to you. Why is humbleness important? First of all, let's understand what humbleness is. It's described as having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. I've got my little needle tonight. Be careful. If I get too close to your balloon, it just may burst your bubble. I'm going to tell the world today, you're not as important as you think you are. Thank you, Father. Some of you backed up a little bit from that, but I'm going to come again. You are not as important as you think that you are. Satan once wanted all the glory of God. And when God saw that he wanted his glory, he was banished out of heaven. How many of you know that? And so all that he sets out to do is to receive glory. So the longer that we don't walk in humble faith, the more that we are glorying our unbelief. The more that we just come in and sit here, instead of declaring things by faith, instead of giving God the things we don't understand, we're giving glory to our unbelief. If you know God's able, how could you live a single day and believe he's not? If you know that he saved you, how can we ever doubt the fact that he could save somebody else? If he has delivered, he's delivered me, and if you know me, you know he's delivered me. If he has delivered people, you know. Do you think God's hand is slack concerning your situation? Absolutely not. So we're acknowledging that we're aware that God is able to do it. But let's acknowledge the real truth. The heart, the condition of the heart inside of us keeps us from realizing the potential of our faith. Because if you're upset all week long, I'm telling you, you're not getting up and the first thing out of your mouth being faith. Some of us might be, oh Lord, rolling out of the bed. Oh Lord, my back again. Oh Lord. Instead of getting up, rebuking that thing, and calling it that is not as though it is, and saying, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Getting up another day, getting another phone call, somebody saying, your kid's wayward, your kid's messed up, your kid's out here doing things that he shouldn't be doing. Instead of worrying and doubting about it, God wants us to be humbled and say, Lord, I don't understand the situation, but God, I'm giving it to you tonight because I need you to transform me to be able to see that even though I don't understand it, even though I don't see the outcome. But God, I know if I give it to you, I know that you're, oh my God, that I know that you're going to move and take care of me. Oh, somebody better turn loose of that lad tonight. Let's go on. Humbleness, as it is related to our faith, is what keeps us grounded to our central point of focus, which is Him. Without being humble, we stray from the very ideal that God is able to perform our petition, and we cannot. And the further we go away from humbleness, the more opposite of an outlook we begin to take on. We go from, I can do all things through Christ, to, I can do this all myself. Let me put it to you like this. This is what the Spirit spoke to me. Having no humbleness in your heart to strengthen you is like going to the pool and wanting to swim, but having no water. It's like trying to take a drink of water from an empty bottle. I wish I had one. I'd demonstrate how foolish that looks. So it is like we try to do something by faith, but we do not find satisfaction while we're doing it. We hear praise and worship, but we're so bothered in our heart and not turned loose of our problems, we can't enjoy it. Amen? And we hear the word of God that can transform. I'm here to tell you, I'm a good preacher. And despite popular opinion, I serve Him in the fullness of His power. So when people try to second guess me, friend, you're second guessing Him. Because this is nothing to me. I'm not important. This isn't about me. This is about the greater good of the kingdom of heaven. And unless we're walking in the statutes of our faith, we cannot prosper in the kingdom of heaven as it is on earth. How many of you know there's a realm down here where we dwell, where the Spirit of God wants to dwell in you? Touch your heart right here. It's inside of you. And unless you're letting an overflow of the anointing of the manifestation of God begin to flow, then you're not enjoying anything. We read about this kind of presence as being lukewarm. We're in it when it's in it for us. We're not in it when it causes a distraction or disturbance in our personal life. So we're sort of in this between hot and cold business. And I'm here to tell you, I prayed for boldness and I'm going to give it. This lukewarm business has got to stop. Oh, I feel that. This lukewarm business coming in and doing it when we need something but not being able to praise Him when we're struggling has got to stop. He's the same God whether you prosper or whether you struggle. He's the same saving God whether we're in the good or in the bad. He's the same God whether the storm is raging or the sun is shining. And He's not changed. So that tells me, oh Lord God, change my heart. Make me new. Cleanse my spirit that I can serve You. I want to bring out some of this scripture. Neither one of them, as we read this story, blame God. Neither one of them discredit their faith. They simply acknowledge that they didn't understand why they were dealing with this. What begins to make faith humble is not only that we're willing to believe God can do it, but we're humble enough to trust Him with it, even when we don't understand it. It's easy to get in here when you've got somebody coming against you. And you dance all over them and put them under your feet. But when God begins to minister about what needs to change in you, you're unmovable. Hold on, let me do an impression. We need to learn to step up to the anointing of God. As if, I've already got it together, brother, what about you? You're not perfect. And the best that you could do in righteousness, the Bible already called it out as filthy rags. So we can't go and read it in a different place and say, well, we're perfection. We strive for perfection, but we're never to be perfect. There was only one perfect man that came, and He bled and died for you that you could have salvation. But we strive with all that's in us to walk in that perfection because He made a way for it. As I began to seek the Lord for how we can grow as a body, what He began to show me, it blew me away. And I'm going to say it. You can take it or leave it. You cannot ask me back again if you want. You're not going to hurt my feelings, but here it is. We're willing to come and try to do for the upbuilding of His kingdom, literally. We're willing to come and be in attendance and show up to sit down and be in His house at the appointed time. We're willing to come and play and sing to give that offering because we know that if we try, He might get in it. But when it comes to being faithful over the things that are near to us, we're not willing to give it up. My friend, you have went with this thing long enough.
You have traveled with these burdens long enough, and it's time for a transformation in your life. I read about a scripture in the Bible where it talked about a religious aristocrat that was going out to call out and pray, and he prayed eloquently. Well, Lord, I've tithed for you. I've attended for you. I have fasted twice in the week. I've done this and this. But yet nothing that he was saying was willing to change what was inside of him. But then we find this lowly person out there that said, oh, Lord, my God, let your forgiveness and mercy be upon me. And called out with what? A humble heart. See, God gave us the keys to begin to lead ourselves to the truth. He said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now read in another scripture where it talks about that one that walks in humbleness gains wisdom. And humbleness is not pity. I wish that sometimes that I could just cry out in my pity and God take care of everything. But pity is not what moves God. He sees your affliction. He's aware of what you're going through. Faith moves God. Lord, help me to transform my doubt in you. God, help me to believe for my wayward children. God, give me the strength to come into your house once again and to serve you in the fullness of your spirit. These prayers are not being prayed enough, but we've got the prayer down pat when we're calling out for something. You don't even have to think about it and it starts coming out of your mouth. But when it comes to calling for things that humble us, very few and far between. Let me read this to you tonight. A lot of people attempt to have faith without being humble. In order to believe, they demand that God do exactly what they think he should. And if he doesn't, then they lose their faith. In order for them to obey God's moral instructions, for instance, they have to agree with them. But if God doesn't say things that offend you or do things that confuse you, then you're not dealing with a true God. You're dealing with a figment of your own imagination. A God who conforms to your mind is usually only a projection of your mind. There's people out there that have a projection of God and think they can sin all week and come to church and be in the almighty power of him. But that is not the God that I serve. We have this imagery that God's going to take care of everything we ever ask for, but we never change anything inside of us and we think we're right with him. That is only a projection of a God. It is not the true God. Because sometimes he's going to take that band-aid over your pity and he's going to rip it right off of you and cause the things that bother you to be exposed. Those things that are done in darkness shall be revealed. You can only hide for so long before the band-aid comes off and God begins to test your faith. Oh, me or amen, whatever you want to choose. I'm going to dig on. Oh, Lord. One of the ways that we know God is a living God and not just a projection of our preconceived notions is that he leaves us with many unanswered questions. You see, if I invented a God, he would always take care of the people I called out for and would never surprise me. How many of you don't like surprises? But God is confusing. He is surprising. He's constantly doing things that make me say, what's going on? Why is this happening? But a humble faith is willing to live with unanswered questions, but yet is still confident in God's goodness. Now I want to bring these scriptures out to you. I'm giving you instruction on how we humble ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if you want to turn there. How do we stay humble, brother? The first thing you've got to learn to do is pray. To pray. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. While you're getting there, let me just say this. If you're only praying just for you and only your things, then that is not a complete prayer. I have found that when I begin to get in the presence of God, that I can't even begin to be selfish enough to call out for things about me. If you push in enough to that spirit when you begin to pray, you'll lose yourself along the way. And it'll no longer be about you and what you need and what you need to happen. But you'll begin to call out for other people. I couldn't begin to tell you the last time that I got down on my knees and only called out for me. Because how selfish of a person can we be when we only get down and say, God, I need you to take care of me. There are people out there that are under bondage of pills today that have no control and are doing whatever they can to try to fix
their fix. There are people out there today that are on drugs and alcohol that can't even change their own life anymore, and destruction is their end. There are people out there today on methamphetamine that don't even know themselves anymore, and they only strive for the next thing that they can get. There are bitter people out there that are causing people to lose their salvation, to lose their faith, simply because they're trying to tell them that what they have ain't real or doesn't mean anything. The world that is out there today is going to cause so much political correctness that the things that we know is wrong, that the world will tell us it is not wrong. But friends, the Word of God didn't change. Oh Lord, the Word of God didn't change. So that tells me that if I'm living by the Word, that I can't change either. So don't you be led by popular opinion. Don't you be led by every wind of doctrine that comes to steal you away. Because not every church in the world that has a sign and says they're a church is leading with sound doctrine. Because unless you're at a church where the minister begins to say something every now and then and it offends your personality, unless we're beginning to hear that things need to be different inside of us, then we're just wanting only what is good for us. And let me tell you what happens in that case. Let's say that you finally get everything that you fought for out there. When you go to try to have any power or domain in the spiritual realm, you'll not get better than a stone's throw moving towards what you want. I don't have enough strength to call out for every single person that ever comes to me and says, pray for me. Me, myself, I don't have it. But there's something that burns inside of me that causes me to say, Lord, I believe that if you have sent them to ask me to help pray, help me to be like Elijah was. Even when I don't understand the situation entirely, help me to be faithful, to believe you, to trust that you're able to do this. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you still believe that God can deliver people in the altar? Do you still believe that he's saving souls when they come to pray? Yes. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that there's something for you to do in the grand scheme of things? Uh-oh. What'd you say? There is. Wow. Isn't that exciting? Now let me ask you, if you know you got something to do, when's the last time you did it? If you've got something to wage in spiritual strength, when's the last time that you got into the realm and began to fight? Brother, if you tried to pray with us, I'm going to get burnt out after about 5 minutes. It's about as long as I can last. Jesus came out of the garden preparing to bear the burden of the world and found his disciples. And he hated to disturb them in the middle of their wonderful sleep. What is it, Lord? Could you not pray for me for an hour? Do we not love people enough to sacrifice of ourselves long enough to see deliverance for them? Oh, Lord. Sometimes deliverance don't come when you say in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you've got to press to get into the realm where that which is able to move it begins to move it. But God wants to see the kind of faith that's going to be willing to press through to break through. He's wanting somebody to come alive and stop worrying about the time limit, to stop worrying about the opinions of others. If you want to get on to me and tell me I'm crazy, I'm going to give you the opportunity right now, because I'm going to dance for the Lord. And there's nothing you can do about it. I don't care what anybody says anymore. I don't have time to worry about what people say. There's a bigger battle out there. There's demons and devils that need you to take a stand over and say in the name of Jesus, somebody ought to give the Lord a praise. There's time and due time that we'll turn loose and let God have control.